Love Talk Radio.
Once again, that's 516-418-5939. I'm hoping to have a co-host with me. May not have a co-host with me, but nevertheless, we're going to see how this format works, and we're going to try to take your calls and answer your questions. Now, let me start off by saying this from the very beginning. I am not the wisest man. I am not by far the smartest man. There are some things that I do have an expertise in, but as far as politics and debates and things, these are things that I'm looking for the callers to call in and speak about, voice their opinions. I have my opinions, you have your opinions, and we have about 8 days. And then after that, we'll go into other topics that are definitely and most certainly going to pop up at this particular point in time, because I have to tell you, whether it's a Clinton presidency again or it's a Trump presidency, we all have our points of view as to what is going to happen at that time. Okay, so I'm just going to start off with telling you this right now, and I'm going to say this tomorrow while I'm speaking, tomorrow on the commute, 6:30, it's going to be every day except for Saturday and Sunday. I believe that if we have a Trump presidency, that we will be that much closer to a world war, to other countries attacking us, and to one of history's greatest race riots or wars. And that's not because blacks or Hispanics or other nationalities are going to start them. I really honestly believe that the individuals that are following Donald Trump, that he has incited his base. And I'm not saying this I'm not trying to be politically incorrect, but I'm saying it the way I know it is. The people that are following him are uninformed, uneducated, white males. This is statistical. White males. And a lot of them have bias that are against African Americans, that are against Hispanics, that are against anybody that does not look like them or live like them. So in other words, we're talking about a class of people that are just angry and upset. And they're upset because President Obama was the president, and they don't feel justified in any shape, way, or form that they were taken care of, that any of the things that they wanted were done. Okay? These people believe that Section 8 has been taken advantage of by African Americans and Hispanics. They believe that that welfare has been taken advantage by the same groups of people. They believe that their jobs have been stolen. And these things are actually statistically, there is no evidence anywhere that supports any of their beliefs at all. Not to mention the fact that we're still on the campaign trail, and the fact that we're on the campaign trail, what we're seeing is that he has promised nothing, absolutely nothing. And even though he's given us no proof, he says, I have a plan. I'm going to make it better. It's going to be huge. These are his earmarks of what he says, but yet he does not present a plan. He has no plan. He has shown no tax forms. He not only has not shown any tax forms, he still has litigation pending this month in November, which begins tomorrow, and in December for a child rape case. This is the man that people are looking to put into office. And we have to be very careful, people, that we do not fall into this. Nobody is saying anything about this, but everybody at this point in time is focused on his emails. Why are they focused on his emails? On Hillary Clinton's emails? Okay, because he's gotten as far as he has gotten, based on the fact that he has used what I call diversionary tactics, in which he likes to deflect the attention off of himself and else so that people will no longer speak about the thing that plagues him. Now, there was also a report that just came out, okay, that stated that several of his companies, several of them have destroyed emails, financial emails, things of that nature. And because of that, right, they can't pinpoint some of his finances. And so what we find is individuals who are looking one way. Now, is Hillary Clinton, is her hands clean? No, her hands are not clean. She is not. You know what? Let me back up. She is like every other politician. Okay? Politicians are broken from the same cloth. They're ripped off from the same cloth. The cut is the same. They're didactic in their approach. They are evasive in their conversation. Okay? But not like Donald Trump, who is visceral in his reactions to things. But most politicians are careful when they do things because they always are looking for the next step, the highest office of the President of the United States. After that, there isn't any place else to go. So anything else that maneuvers is always a political, there is always a political strategy that will take you from one place to the other place that will allow the individuals to look and see and say, hey, wow, you know, maybe I can go from being a council person to the mayor, from the mayor to, let's say, a governor or a mayor of a larger town or a larger city. And then they can go from that to possibly being a governor, from a governor to being a senator or a congressman, and from being a senator or a congressman up to the highest office in the land. And there's always a political motivation that's there. That one of the issues and the problems is that we don't want status quo. I heard Dr. Dyson speak about not maintaining the status quo. Though we put her in office, one of our priorities is to make sure that we get her into the office and make sure to keep him out of the office. Now, I think I said this before on one of my other shows. I don't like voting for individuals who are, for the most part, the lesser of two evils. I did that one time before. I felt very grimy. I felt very bad. But it was the lesser of two evils. Out of the lesser of two evils, I don't want to say she's not as good as I would like her to be, but she's not as bad as Trump. So I'm not even saying that I am compromising. What I'm more so saying is that even in the race with all of the individuals that were up there on that platform, We started out with 14 people. 14. Narrowed to 12, then to 10, then to about 6. We narrowed it all the way down. Out of all of those people, I still would have chosen Hillary Clinton from the beginning. Because I like to know that the person who is representing the United States of America has experience. You know, that little thing that you've done something before and you've actually come out without getting anybody killed. Now, yes, Trump runs around and he says this. He says, oh, you know, she's failed policy. She doesn't have the stamina. He kept saying stamina, okay? When you begin to speak in terms of that, and I don't know if anybody spoke up about this, but when you continue to use the terminology stamina and the terminology and the way that he was using it, it was in reference to maleness, bravado, stamina, okay? Nobody picked that up, but the way he was putting it, it was so she wouldn't, you know, so that people wouldn't see it from that perspective. I saw it as simply a male thing where he was saying she doesn't have the stamina, but she came back by saying, well, if you've traveled to 122 countries, okay, sat before a congressional hearing for 16 hours, okay, and done this, that, and the other, you should be okay. Now, one of the things that I have to say is this. The fact of the matter is that has she been the most successful person? No, she hasn't. She hasn't been the most successful person. Has she made mistakes? She's probably made more grave errors than all of us know. Okay? But guess what? A lot of her dirty laundry is not, we can find Donald Trump's dirty laundry. And let's not even say this. Let's not even go about saying this. Let's say this about Donald Trump. Everybody's been saying he's a successful businessman. Wrong. He is not a successful businessman. He is in debt way beyond his ears, okay? His company, his hotels and casinos, they're not profitable, okay? He is now, at this point, taking his name off of his buildings because people have stopped going to the Trump buildings, the resorts. He has not had any increase in any of that. Now, if you're listening, you want to call in. The number is 516-418-5939. Once again, 516-418-5939. His business is faltering and failing. And let's even go here. And this is for my stiff, staunch individuals who are conservative Republicans. Not evangelicals, just conservative Republicans. He has made so many inferences and treated so many other races wrong, and it's been proven. Because I was on Facebook the other day, and the other day somebody said, well, he was never called a racist until the 2016 race. Once again, wrong. This racism thing started back in 1973 when it was found with the housing discrimination because he was not allowing black people to move into his buildings. That was the very first thing that fell on him, okay? There was a lawsuit taken out on him, and it started from 73 all the way up to now. But in between with his casinos, with his high-rolling customers, what they called whales, came to his casinos. His casino, the people came, they did not want black people handling the money or the cards or anything, so they were told to leave and go in the back. In the back. The audacity to send a black person anywhere screams racism. Screams it. But that's the problem that we have. We're missing these points. We're missing these. Later on, with the Central Park Five, he took out a full-page ad in the newspaper and told them these were young men, these were basically kids, they were teenagers, and he told the newspaper, hey, listen, you know, put them to death. Them to death. Hello, this is the commute. You're on the air. Who am I speaking
to? Yes, hi. I'd like to just make a comment. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. In terms of this election is just very troublesome. But for the most part, I wanted to just bring up the point that I think it's really sad that even though the election is very difficult, really, yeah, we have to kind of decide the lesser of two evils, and it's probably the hardest decision that any American has to make in the history of voting, and or in terms of what I know is voting and, since I've been able to vote. But what I think is the most disturbing is the fact that there are people that will not vote. And I just wanted to bring up and say, you must vote. Now, most of the registration and everything is up in most of the states. I think New York was October 14th, but we have to vote. I have a personal vested interest in wanting to vote, my family and I, just simply because my own parents fought for the right to vote during the civil rights era, and they were chased by dogs, and they were sprayed with fire hydrants and arrested and everything. But just for the fact that people did die and they did sacrifice, especially for African Americans, but we had all different ethnic groups fighting alongside us. And just the fact that we are American and we have the right to vote and that our vote is extremely powerful. I was speaking with my union today, and the vice president had mentioned the fact that when you go up and you speak to a politician and you want to complain, they mention the fact that, or they ask you your name and, you know, ask for some information. And what they do is they have their aides go and look that information up, and what they look at is when was the last time you voted. Because they want to know, based on where you live, if your complaint will create a ripple, because you're a voter and you're around a community that is full of voters, and it's all political, and they want to know. So if you don't vote and then you have a complaint, basically, unfortunately, they look at that to see, you know, just what weight do you carry? You know, are you really serious? Is this someone that they need to take seriously, or are you just mouthing off and you don't have any power behind what you say? So I'm just encouraging everybody to vote.
Now, let me ask you a question. Honestly, individuals who are going to the polls to vote, what is your perspective on them going in and them kind of just blanking out the ballot, not voting for anybody, not an independent, Trump or Clinton, but kind of just filling out an empty space? What do you say about that? What do you think in terms of an individual going in there, especially an African American, going into a poll and doing something like that? You think is that the right thing to do? Is that the wrong thing to do? What do you think?
Well, I admittedly started out thinking like that, and again, you know, I have parents that have fought for the voting, and thank God for their wisdom. And I would, you know, and I've done research and heard from other people about the power of the vote. To blank it out, you know, that's your right to do, and that's the easy way out. But if you blank it out, or you vote where you're kind of throwing your vote away, unfortunately, the other two candidates that are also running for the Green Party and the Independent Something Party, you know, to me, that's, again, throwing a vote away, whereas it's so close in the race that we cannot afford to have someone who is as rogue. And, yes, I'm not voting for Trump. I don't agree with everything that Hillary has to say and do, but I know that yes, she is experienced. Presidents that come in are not experienced. So we do have a plus in terms of her understanding the climate and the just the climate of the international stage first and foremost. And then she was right there with the president, so she's also familiar with just the runnings of the White House. So we really do have an invested person getting ready to come into the White House if we vote for her. But we cannot afford to have someone like Donald Trump in who he's completely biased, racist. He's broken every rule in the book. No, he's not a politician, and maybe the true feelings of certain politicians would have come out earlier if we didn't have certain etiquettes. But he's gone beyond etiquette. Or breaking etiquette. He's been immoral, just in a way where there's no true apology. Immoral, he's been unethical. He has even to the disabled, it's disgusting. And I just don't understand even how I've come across certain, even African Americans, that are voting for him and hiding behind the Bible to do it. It's so ignorant, I almost can't stomach it, that they would not understand the fact that Donald Trump was originally a Democrat. The reason why most Christians are basing their vote on him is because they said they don't want to vote for the abortion issue. You know, they don't want to be pro-abortion, which, you know, to them, voting Democrat would do that, and they don't want to vote for the homosexual population. And actually, I heard you say very wisely that God gave us free choice, and that's the biblical way, that he gave us free choice. No, I'm not for abortion. No, I'm not for homosexual marriage, but they have the right to pick and choose what they want to do. That's what America is about. Forced
That's
to
right.
line up with their beliefs and their agenda, but I believe that everybody should be able to walk around freely, be with whoever they want freely, you know, just not force others to agree with them. But they don't understand that he first was Democrat and he only went over to the Republican Party because it would have been easier to have the backing of the Republican Party against her instead of trying to run against her in the primary. So people don't understand that this is not his inherent heart choice to go against abortion or to be against abortion or homosexual marriage. It's just convenient for him. And he was for abortion. He was for abortion and he was for against homosexual marriage before. And he just went over to the ticket by default. So people have to do their research. They have to study and they have to understand. And if I'm wrong, someone call and correct me or you correct me. I'm always willing to learn. But that's my opinion. Everybody needs to come out and vote. We can't put a rabid person in office that has no moral or ethical compass, and we have to vote to make that difference. Thank you.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Thank you very much for your call. Well, as you heard one of our callers this evening, you know, getting out to vote is one of the key cornerstones that we have to do. We have to get out and vote. We have to make it up in our minds to get out there. For anybody who is still at this stage straddling the fence, make a choice. The Bible says, you know, be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, God will spew you out. Well, man says this. Right or wrong, make a choice. Okay? That's what man says, because I want to give it to you that way. I'll give it to you in a biblical way. I really want people to take the time to go out, vote, so that we can make a change. You talk about making a change, the change comes with the power of the vote. Now, Malcolm X did say this. He said, hold your vote like a bullet in a gun. And when you point the gun, make sure you aim it correctly so that where you fire it, it hits its target. This is the target. Hillary Clinton is the target. I am supporting Hillary Clinton because I do not desire to have a Trump presidency, because I am compromising, not because she is the lesser of two evils, because I believe that the woman, though she may not, because whose hands are clean? Whose? Who doesn't have skeletons in their closet? And for those of you who are thinking she had anything really to do with Benghazi, she really didn't. There is nothing that points to her having any direct knowledge of the fact that those individuals, those Marines were going to be killed. There's nothing that points to her. All we've seen a lot about her is a lot of speculation, a lot of innuendo, okay, a lot of hyperbole. We've seen a lot of things that in this day and age, you just put something out there and everybody runs with it. We have to be very careful what we say, how we say it, what we do, and how we do it. Let's rock the vote. We have to. Black, white, brown, purple, green, we have to get out. We have to vote. Okay? I'm down to 3 minutes. And I want to say this very briefly. This format that I'm starting here is starting on this political campaign and this platform. But I want everyone to be able to call in, and I want you to express yourself the way you want to now. We are not going to tolerate any sexism, any racism, any genderism, misogynistic. I want you to comment what your beliefs are, but there is always a way to say things, okay? Especially no expletives. I personally do not use expletives in anything that I do. And I do not expect you, my audience, or anyone else to use them either. All right? As we're starting this format, and this is a test today, and we got one caller in, and she's going to be my co-host, okay? I believe that by having an open on these issues, whether it's politics, racism, police brutality, about Muslims, the White House, the movement, elections, civil rights, voting, black, white supremacy, women, anything, we will be able to make changes towards a better world, a more inclusive world. But I'm not all inclusive where I'm excluding my God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to throw that in there. I have to plug Jesus. All right? So once again, I thank all of you for joining me on the commute. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.